It's Wednesday, February 14, 2024, and this is KBIA's Views of the News. Our weekly roundtable on media behaviors comes to you from the studio at the Reynolds Journalism Institute. I'm Amy Simons, and here with me are my colleagues, Kathy Kiley and Ernest Perry. On our program this week, Tucker Carlson's trip to Moscow included that heavily teased sit-down interview with Vladimir Putin. We'll talk about it. What if newspapers were to give away subscriptions for free? Would the public take them up on it? We'll talk about an experiment in Pennsylvania and what that showed. And... The Chiefs weren't the only winners Sunday night. A whole new generation of football fans were born thanks to a highly creative Super Bowl simulcast. We'll talk about what SpongeBob and Patrick and what they were all doing over there on Nickelodeon. There's a lot more that we'll hopefully get to before our half hour is up today. But we will start with the Chiefs, the actual winners of Super Bowl 58. And as we're taping our show, it's just after 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and people are lining the streets of downtown Kansas City for yet another Super Bowl celebration parade. This has kind of become one of those things that's normalized, the idea of the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade.
We basically supplanted the Patriots. It's like every year you kind of expect this to happen.
Right? And this idea too, I know we've had a lot of students here at the University of Missouri shocked that classes weren't canceled for them to be able to go to the parade. And it's almost like, let's act like we've been here before.
Exactly. Let's be sophisticated. It is a big event, and it's fun. The celebration is a fun thing to do. So why not?
It is. I pretty much figured I'd be going to bed kind of early Sunday night. At one point, I was texting with each of you. I was texting with Travis McMillan, our director, and it just kind of seemed that like at the half, Ernest, I was like, I think I'm done here, but. Forget overtime. That play at the end of the overtime
made it
all worth staying up for.
Right. Well, I mean, it's this the Chief. My daughter is the same way, who, in fact, is a Patriots fan.
I
didn't raise her right.
How did she become a...
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
We'll
leave that be. But anyway, she was watching the game, and she was like, I don't know if I can take it. And I went, you got to hang in there. This is what we do. As Chiefs fans, you know, we hang in there because we know in the end, Patrick will figure out a way to make it happen.
That's exactly what happened.
It was like two football games.
It was, and we'll get to that part too, but we really did get extra football Sunday night, and we weren't the only ones who stuck around. Nielsen has also reported that this was the most watched Super Bowl in history.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, what's interesting is the first part of the game, really up through about the third quarter, was like the mistake bowl, you know, fumbles and punts. But I think you're right, Ernest. The Chiefs are one of those teams that start slow and ignite in the fourth quarter. So if you're willing to hang in there, and I think sophisticated football fans knew that. But I think the peak was halftime for Usher.
Usher. You think?
The halftime peak. So I think, I will say this as somebody who grew up around football and remembers early days in the Super Bowl and the old Sugar Bowl when it was a cold, dank stadium. I mean, there is nothing like the Super Bowl for overproduction, and it is a really hyper-produced event. And people, I think, if you're interested in football, it may be distracting, but a lot of people tune in for other things besides the football, as I know we've talked about, and you will talk about some more in this show.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if you sit back and look at it in its totality, the NFL did a really good job of just not screwing it up. And what I mean by that is everything was in place. You finally got a Super Bowl in Vegas, which they've been trying to do forever, and they were always this fear of gambling. Well, we don't have that fear anymore because gambling is everywhere. So now they take it to Vegas. It's in Vegas. You've got a growing dynasty in the Chiefs. You've got a legacy team in the 49ers. You've got a well-renowned musical star who's doing your halftime show. You've got the whole Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift thing going on. I mean, it's just like, just let it play out and don't get in the way.
Right, which is, and you had Reba McEntire singing the national anthem. Right, so it was, I mean, Vegas is really the capital of entertainment, you know, live entertainment, even more than Broadway. And they took full advantage of that.
And the other thing, too, is that you have very few live events. I mean, sports now has sort of taken over live television.
It's the only it's the only live appointment television that remains.
Exactly.
Absolutely, and that's the biggest one. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're right. A lot of people stayed for halftime, but even after that, the score was so close, they were going like, okay, we got to
right.
I got to ride this out.
Right.
You know, because, and then you get, not only do you get four quarters of football, you get a fifth quarter thrown in and all the excitement at the end, which, you know, you can't script that.
No,
and that's
you,
one of the reasons
really
why I said
can't.
The NFL can't, you can't mess that up.
The commercials, and maybe it's because of all of these other elements that you're talking about, the topless talent both on the field and the entertainers and the extra quarter of football. I don't know, it's maybe that idea that we saw a good number of the commercials earlier in the week. They didn't seem to be all that big of a thing in the moment, or people talking about them as they ran, as you might see in past years. But if you're to read what the critics put out there, these were some of the best ads in years that ran Sunday night.
Yeah, and I think basically what they're saying is that the ads sort of spoke to the products, and at the same time tried to speak to the public in ways that weren't polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was one of the things that most of the ads were really trying to hit on. And the Arnold Schwarzenegger ad with State Farm, which I thought was
funny. I'll give him that one.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. The usual car ads, mm-hmm. though, I thought those were done pretty well. I mean, the one that got the most praise or criticism was the one on the Cetaphil, the lotion,
mm-hmm.
Which was a sort of takeoff of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and the dad and the daughter coming in. I thought that one was pretty well done, and there's some controversy behind that, and you can read the story on our Links blog. But you know, I just thought it was done well. Overall.
Well, and I think that the what you pointed to was the lack of polarization. I think that goes straight to the point that this is appointment TV. It is, you know, back in the day when media tended to be much more centrist, it's because the advertisers wanted to appeal to everybody. And here you have an event where everybody in America is watching, and the effort is to appeal to everybody, not just some niche group.
And there were a couple of ads out there that did kind of hit that nerve with some people. The RFK ad being one, for instance. Another one of them being the ad for He Gets Us, which is was an ad for Christianity that is paid for in large part by the family that owns Hobby Lobby. Another that there was a lot of confusion about was the one with the message that was supposed to be about fighting anti-Semitism,
right,
which was featuring one of Martin Luther King Jr.'s speechwriters. That one also in large part supported by the Kraft family.
Right.
And so some of those maybe brought in a little bit more of the controversy and the polarization.
But that being said, yes, those ads were there, but I think it got lost in everything else,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there was so many storylines outside of the commercials for a change that the commercials themselves just
became
the game was actually good.
And
it was a good game. Exactly. It was an exciting game. There was a lot of drama in it. So the attention was actually on the event, as opposed to all the ancillary stuff.
Well, and it was known that this was going to be a make or break moment for CBS and for Paramount. And yesterday that company did, as was anticipated, laid off more than 800 people, I believe about 20 of them from CBS's news department, including Catherine Herridge, who's a reporter we had talked about at length a few weeks ago, who's facing jail time for for
not refusing to give up a source.
Yes, yeah. Her sources, mm-hmm. For a story that she worked on while at Fox News.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think this is what this, you know, I think that's a stark reality. We've talked about the economic difficulties facing news operations and the pressure of streaming. And so here you have an organization that just had the most watched broadcast in history, and the next day they're laying people off.
Right.
And I think what that says to you is even a one-off success like that isn't going to be enough to sustain an operation. Keep in mind that CBS News is just a part mm-hmm. of Paramount. There were 800 layoffs. There were 20 in the news division. But I think it shocked people because there were some longtime people there. And then the Catherine Herridge layoff is going to draw particular attention because she's in this difficult legal situation. So, she will still get support. I think, you know, this happened when she was working for Fox, and Fox would normally be the person, the organization yeah. supporting her, and news organizations generally are going to support her. But it shows you, I think, how precarious it is to be in the news business right now.
Well, no, absolutely. I mean, it's precarious to be in any media-related business right now because you have such disruption. I mean, we talked about the cord cutters, right? Well, now you're going from you have the cord cutters, you still have people who are, you know, basically dislodging from cable, but they're also making decisions about streaming, and they're not going to, I mean, they're just not going to fall into this, well, I need to have Peacock, and I need to have Paramount, and I need to have Amazon, and I need to have YouTube TV. They're making choices, and what's happening is that the companies themselves aren't able to draw in as many viewers as they think they will because everything keeps changing as we move through this.
So hold on to that for a second, because before we move on, because we are going to talk about streaming again today, but before we move on, I want to talk about one more thing as it was related to the Super Bowl. And you both know, I've told you that I'm that person who's really only watching the Super Bowl these days to make sure I don't miss that big pop culture moment, like the power going out like it did a few years ago, or the wardrobe malfunction. Sunday night, I was doom scrolling on my phone. Some point during the first half, someone posted online that the best thing they ever did was tell their parents to watch playoff football on Nickelodeon. So I took the bait, I picked up my remote, and found this.
You don't have to hurry.
I wish real life was like that.
Right? I know. Freeze time a little bit.
Make a mistake, you get one more time.
Side of the football field, but one extra special aspect of the game. Leave it, Pacheco.
Pacheco!
And he'll go out of bounds. It'll be third down and just a couple yards to go. And the fun thing there, clock also stops. If you go out of bounds, clock
Pacheco
stops.
Pacheco out of bounds.
Yeah.
I forget that.
Is there going to be a quiz on this later?
I don't know. I still haven't decided. I can't tell you because it's supposed to be a pop quiz.
So SpongeBob wanted to know if there was going to be a quiz, because one of the things that made this so cool was it was a broadcast that was really designed. I mean, there were some funny jokes in there that I'm guessing only the adults caught on to, but it was designed to bring another generation into the game of football, that they explained the rules and made jokes about them. At one point, as penalties were called, Dora the Explorer would pop up from the little graphic at the bottom, and Dora the Explorer would explain the rule, explain why the penalty was assessed, and how many yards they'd be going back. So it was like an opportunity to school people in football while still entertaining and creating kind of this fun way to watch the game if you weren't into it otherwise.
I will say I flipped over for a little while and I found it distracting. But that's me.
You're
I've been watching football
though,
for
right?
a long time, right? Yeah. But I could see how my grandson would probably watch it and go like, "Oh yeah, this is great." So mm-hmm. I mean, again, like you said, you're bringing another generation into a sport that they're trying to grow.
I'm so old school. I listened to this game on the radio. I started because I was cooking and I got addicted. And the play by play was so fantastic. And by the way, the radio was about two plays ahead of the TV broadcast, so I was very tempted to be calling or texting you and Amy and saying, I bet he's going to miss that extra point. and look like a genius.
Well, one of the other things, too, that was interesting, because, you know, once I was in for a dime, I was in for a dollar. So I'm watching the whole rest of the game on Nickelodeon. And so one of the things that was interesting is I would go back and forth during the commercials. Most of the commercials were the same, but there were no commercials for beer. There were the RFK commercial didn't show up. So some of the more not so friendly products, family friendly products, those commercials were replaced with promos for Paramount Plus programming that still kept it kids friendly. And that seemed kind of like a smart move there. We've seen simulcasts like this. You know, ESPN and ABC have been doing it with like the hometown broadcast for years. The idea of the simulcast wasn't new, but the use of the technology to make it look like we were underwater and the creativity and the fun that the characters brought to it.
Well, just the idea of not taking the Super Bowl too seriously, it seems very subversive.
Well, and I think one of those jokes that was great was at the very, very end. Patrick Starr, the pink character, says, "It's okay, I'm giving it up. Patrick Mahomes is the number one Patrick, the best Patrick. I'm even taking myself out of the running." So it was fun.
Good imitation, Amy.
What can I say? By the time that football is back on TV, though, next fall, there's a good chance we're going to see some big changes as the big three, we're talking ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery, are planning to launch a new streaming service. So, Ernest, I told you we'd come back to this. Because, you know, we don't have enough streaming services, but this one is going to run live sports from just about every major sports league. This venture is going to make it possible to watch the, we're going to start counting on fingers, the NFL, the NBA, NHL, college football, the PGA Tour, Grand Slam tennis, U.S. soccer, and NASCAR all through a single streaming service. So consider for a minute that this season, football fans needed to subscribe to Amazon Prime Games to watch, or Amazon Prime to watch Thursday night games, Peacock for Sunday games, and that one Saturday night Kansas City Chiefs game that wasn't on television at all, and Paramount Plus or YouTube TV for the Super Bowl. Consolidating all of this programming into one super app could solve a pretty big problem for viewers, but maybe it's not all fun and games from a business standpoint.
Well, a couple things about this. One, I mean, I hear everything you're saying. I immediately thought when I saw that news that this is an effort by the networks to try to take some power back in the negotiating room with the leagues. And that if they all come in together, they can have a little more heft and maybe flip the tables there. But I question, number one, is this going to get past antitrust?
Yeah, I mean, and that's like it's every single professional sports league with the exception of MLB.
Well, or did I MLB, miss somebody but, else and too? Here's no. In terms of leagues, I think you're right, but in terms of the one big outlier is Paramount Plus,
that's right.
Which is CBS.
Well,
which
NBC wasn't involved in there either, though.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Peacock, so NBC, Peacock, they were on. So NBC, Universal, and Paramount were left out.
Yeah. So my point is for viewers. You're still going to have to get Paramount Plus. You're still going to have to get Peacock. So does it really solve that problem?
Right.
And I think if you're a fan of a particular team, and it's your hometown team, which is how a lot of people
roll. You can say the Kansas City Chiefs because most of their games are on Paramount and CBS.
Yes, and you watch over the air.
Right.
I mean, if you're a cord cutter, you have an antenna.
Right, right. No, absolutely.
So
I
don't know that it's going to solve anybody's.
I think you're onto something there. I think one of the reasons why they didn't bring in all the networks was because they were afraid of antitrust rules, and I still think that it's still in the hands of the leagues because they there's nothing to keep them from maybe starting their own streaming service and going in that direction.
That's NFL TV.
Right,
exactly. MLB and its apps.
No,
absolutely.
Already are doing that. So, there's just, as long as you have that, we hadn't even talked about college football, which, is pretty much headed towards semi-pro, where we are now, because, you know, basically your entire workforce is on one-year contracts with name, image, and likeness, so and the transfer portal. So, I mean, that's sort of where we're heading right now, because there's really no mechanism in place to be able to say, let's go this path or let's go this path. The disruption is just there. And there's no historical precedent for where we are right now in terms of the economic model, as well as what people are willing to do. I mean, are willing to pay for and willing to use.
Yeah, and I don't think we've seen, I saw one figure, maybe $71 a month, but I don't think we know how much people are going to be asked to pay for this yet.
Yeah, and they're talking about $50, but it could be more than that.
And we all know that the $50 goes up.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's the promotional rate.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. So what are people willing to pay?
What are people willing
to pay?
In fact,
we're probably, if we look at the calendar, at about that point where the people who subscribed to Peacock for the Chiefs game anyway
start
are probably losing their promotional rate from the $5.99.
That's right.
So maybe check your credit card bill, because if you signed up just for that promotion, we're probably at the point, if not already, where you're paying more if
that's
you
right.
forgot to cancel that.
That's right.
Yeah. I can't wait to see that next SEC report.
We didn't get a chance to talk last week much about Tucker Carlson's trip to Moscow. And I guess that's okay, because since our show last Wednesday, he's given us a lot more to talk about. Having had meetings with two people from the United States living in exile and sitting down for more than 2 hours for an interview with Russian President Vladimir Putin, that interview was a lot.
It was kind of a dud. You know, he let the president of Russia talk endlessly about this obscure Russian history.
For like really, hours.
Yes, exactly.
Unchecked.
And you know, one thing we try to teach journalism students is it's not rude to interrupt a filibuster, and when you allow somebody like Putin a platform and to go on and on and on in this way that almost hypnotizes people, you know, that's not journalism.
Yeah. I mean, that bothered me along with, you know, he waited till the end to really start talking about some issues like Evan Gershwich.
Bringing him up at the very end.
At the very end and basically allowing, you know, Putin to say, well, you know, if we can cut a deal with the Americans, we might be able to do something. And the whole time that I went back and I watched part of it, and I'm going, but wait a minute, so are you basically saying that what you're charging him with
isn't actually legit? You're just
waiting
to figure out how you can negotiate by trading bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I think that's why Evan was snatched in the first place. Mm-hmm. I mean, we now know whom Putin wants to trade for, and a hitman basically who is in jail in Germany, and he was convicted in 2021. And Putin started, according to the Wall Street Journal, which I give the Wall Street Journal a lot of props for reporting this out, because they are talking. They had a big story about the guy Vadim Krasikov, who is the person Putin wants back, and he's, you know, the story is incredible. It was a brutal hit on a Chechen insurgent in Berlin's version of Central Park, right in front of families and kids. That's who he wants. And I think because he started negotiating before the 2021 verdict, that's what he had in mind when they snatched Evan.
So, I mean, when you look at all of this, I mean, it's one of those things where, okay, you're going to have these interviews, you're basically being used. Who's your audience? Mm-hmm. I mean, who are you actually, you know, there to provide news and information to?
Well, and you know, my first thought is you're also talking about him having this 2.5 hour unchecked sit down conversation, and you can go ahead and stop the filibuster, and he didn't really call him out on anything. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, yeah, because he knows he's going to be the next one snatched if he attempts to question or really kind of call Putin out for the things he's
doing. Well, but you know what? There was an interview a couple of months or a year ago by an Austrian broadcaster who got a lot of praise because he really did put it to
Putin. Impressed him, yeah. I remember seeing
it. And so you can do this. And if you're not.
You absolutely can. I'm just wondering what Austria's relationship is with Russia.
But if you're not willing to do that, to do your job, don't do the interview.
Don't
I mean,
do it.
This
but we
is
have
not,
to. But let's stop and think about who we're talking about here. We're talking about Tucker Carlson.
Right. And when you say who is the audience, the most disturbing thing to me, I have a friend who's quite conservative and who was sending me the sort of sharing with me his Twitter feed reaction. And there were people saying, Putin is brilliant. And I'm thinking, and I sent him a note back. I said, I'll take decent over brilliant any day.
Yeah.
But the idea, that's the audience. The audience is people who are disaffected in the United States, and this is another attempt to manipulate us out of our own democracy.
Yeah.
Okay. So wake up, America.
So we're not going to have a lot of time to talk about this last story, so I'm going to encourage you that if you want to learn more about it, go to our links blog at kbia.org. But there was this interesting experiment that was carried out by a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, in which the research team offered 2,529 people in Pennsylvania who had previously responded to political surveys, offered them free subscriptions to their local newspapers. Of that nearly, 2,530 people, 44 accepted. That's less than 2%. And it was interesting. They were turning down the subscriptions to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, to the Philadelphia Inquirer. And these are people who are politically active, who have expressed an interest in sharing their political perspectives previously, but made it clear to these researchers that they didn't want the local papers. They wanted to subscribe and to support national outlets that fulfilled their perspectives,
yes,
that shared their views.
I think there's two things about that. One, politically active people do their own research. They don't want to hear.
There were air quotes there for people who are listening on the radio. Go ahead.
They don't want to hear news that is going to challenge their preconceived notions.
Yeah.
The second thing is, you know, we live here in America and we know you get what you pay for, right?
Right.
And this is one of the fallacies. We shouldn't offer hard-earned journalism for free. Because we know we get what we pay for. If you're getting it for free, you're getting, to use the academic technical newsroom term, crap.
If you
journalism costs something,
right,
and people need to pay for it.
Yeah.
And
no,
I think they know they're getting value if they're paying.
No, I agree with you in the fact that, yes, people do need to pay for journalism, because there's definitely, especially really good journalism, there's value there. I think what this study also shows, though, is that, you know, you have people who will stay in their political bubble. They're going to stay at no matter what.
Even when they're offered a low-risk entry out of the bubble,
exactly,
they're staying where they are.
They're going to stay where they are because they've sort of fallen into this thing where they're going like, hey, this is what I want, and this is all I want.
Okay. Well, that music means we're out of time for today. I'd like to thank you for spending your last half hour with us. Read more about all of the topics we talked about today on the Links blog. That's under both the programs and podcast tabs at kbia.org. We're also available wherever you get your podcast downloads. That includes iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. Like us on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. The handle there is @viewsonkbia. These are all great ways to watch and listen to the program again, leave comments, questions, see previews of what we'll be talking about next week, and more. Our thanks to RJ Ice, Travis McMillan for directing the show, to Takiya Thomas for handling the audio, Tim Pilcher composed our theme music, and Nate Brown is our social media manager. I'm Amy Simons. We'll be back next week.